that is forgotten currently, called the African Yam Bean, and how this plant can serve as an alternative crop to have better food security and sustainable agriculture. So the agenda for today, I'll just briefly describe to you about the food security and a little bit more on the forgotten crops, and introduce to you about legumes and what exactly are tuberous legumes. And then the star of for today, which is the African yam bean and the challenges that I faced doing this project. It is really early in the infancy of the whole, I guess, the project, the long-term project. It's only have been, I think, a little bit more than a year. And some of the promising results that we have now and the future work. So to start with, when we talk about food security, it is a multidimensional problem. It's not just one factor that is causing food security issue. And we know this, it could be due to distribution problem, but you know, we have seen hunger and like obesity side by side. But at the same time, the current climate would make the food production even worse. And here is, I'm taking this diagram from the recent Global Report on Food Crisis. You can see the different colored regions here in Africa. The red of the region means that there's high population experiencing acute food insecurity. And I'll just point out this particular symbol here, which indicates where the extremes. And in fact, a lot of the regions are experiencing one of the drivers for food insecurity is weather extremes, changing weather. And some of the regions, it is the only driver for food insecurity. So, but at the same time, we have, you know, it is expected that there will be 10 billion of us on Earth by 2050. So how do we actually sustain this? And one of the solution that even FAO is trying to promote is to consume more legumes. And this is because legumes, they are sustainable and very nutritious. So every year on the 10th of February, it is the World Pulse Day, where they start to promote to consume more legumes. And this is in fact the recent publication by FAO for this year's World Pulse Day. So a little bit about legumes and why it's special is that legumes have these special structures on the root. And this structure are called the nitrogen-fixing nodules. And they are formed through symbiotic association with soil bacteria. So these structures can then fix nitrogen from the air and then form pretty much the nitrogen fertilizers for the plant. So legumes can thrive in places where there's no nitrogen fertilizer or very low nitrogen. But having said that, not all legumes are created equal, not all of them are good. One of the biggest commodity in the world right now is soybean, but it is not a sustainable crop. It requires a lot of water to actually grow them. And in fact, it's one of the cause for deforestation in Amazon. So this is just part of the, I guess, Amazon rainforest in Brazil. And this is like the cleared land for growing soybean. Also, I think a few years back, there is this drought in North America, and that affected the soybean production. So because it just requires a lot of water to grow them. So like another solution is that we have a lot more options for consumption, not just soybean. And that is not the only legume that we have in the world. And just to sort of like quote some, I guess, statistics, it's like 90% of our calories currently actually come from just 15 species. Another stat saying that it's 95% of our calories coming from 30 crop species, and 80% of them are actually just coming from four crop species, which are wheat, rice, corn, and soybean. But we do have about 7,000 more options of different crop species, and this is taken from the recent State of the World's Plants and Fungi report by Kew's in 2020. And a lot of these species are actually in the closer to the equator, I guess, like the biodiversity hotspots in Africa and also in Southeast Asia. So we do have plenty of options other than just like soybean as the legume that we can consume. So this comes back to tuberous legumes, and a lot of this, I guess, like amongst those 7,000 plant species, a lot of them are considered as forgotten or neglected, underutilized orphan crops, and they're pretty much not known, or they used to be consumed traditionally, but now are just they're just completely forgotten, or not a lot of people actually growing them still. So a lot of the tuberous legumes are traditional food of the native people in different parts of the world, and they can be consumed, like both the beans and the tubers, for the beans and the tubers. And these are just amongst some of the tuberous legumes around the world. So we have the bush carrot in Australia, and this is also a sacred plant by the indigenous people in Australia. We have zombie pea in Java, we have kudzu in Asia, and we have winged bean in Southeast Asia. So this particular plant is also, it has a very interesting, I guess, history. So back in the 1970s, there was this like worldwide consortium to promote this as a miracle crop, because you can actually eat this plant, like the whole plant, except for the stalk. So from the flowers to the leaves, to the tubers, to the beans and pods, you can actually eat them. But this is just my speculation from my reading, is that what happens is that at the same time when they start to promote this worldwide, there's effort in promoting soybean. So compared to soybean, winged beans can only be grown in subtropical to tropical climate, whereas soybean can be grown in North America in temperate climate. So in a way, soybean won that competition, I guess. We also have the earthnut pea in Europe. We have Apios americana, the hopniss plant in North America, that used to be eaten by the native people in North America. We have ahipa and yikama in South America. For this one though, the beans are actually toxic. Only the tubers are consumed. And we have African yam bean, or Sphenocyclus stenocarpa in Africa. So just a little bit about African yam bean. It originates from Ethiopia, and used to be grown all over Africa at one time. And both the beans and tubers, so that's the tuber, can be eaten. In West Africa, it is mainly grown for the beans, and in East and Central Africa, they're mainly grown for the tubers. And it has very high protein content in beans and the tubers. In fact, when we compare the protein content in tubers of AYB compared to like potato and cassava, so the most that you can get for potato and cassava is probably like around 5% of protein, whereas AYB tubers can go up to 25% of protein. The nutritional value is proven when it actually it was used to alleviate malnourishment in the Nigerian Civil War in late 1960s. So even though it is not, I guess, heavily bred for improved seeds, the current yield is already quite high, about 3,000 kilogram per hectare. They are also very drought resistant, and they're very drought resistant, and as I've mentioned before, they also have nitrogen-fixing nodules, and this can enrich the soil with nitrogen. What I've been told by my colleague in Nigeria is that a lot of the farmers who intercrop AYB with yam, it actually improves yam yield too. Currently, they are mainly grown by old farmers, and the acreage for this particular crop is declining in Nigeria. So this is just a presentation of where African yam bean used to be grown, from Ethiopia, where it originates from, to Central and East, to the West Africa. And when we compare to the first diagram that I showed you, these are also the regions that are experiencing food insecurity. So hopefully AYB can help with this situation. So when I started this project, I've talked to a couple of African scientists, not just from Nigeria, but from Uganda and Kenya. And what I learned from them is that when they start working with scientists coming from developed countries, a lot of the scientists came in thinking that they can solve the problems in Africa by applying what they already found in the lab, pushing it to the field and pushing it to the farmers, assuming that that's the solution that they need. So for my project, for this project, what our approach is that we ask the farmers first what they actually need, especially about the AYB or their experience in growing AYB, and how those interviews actually informed us in the lab to what kind of, I guess, improvement that we need to start growing them in the field and then help the farmers. So a couple of months back, we did some interviews with farmers in Nigeria that were thinking of growing AYB or already growing AYB, and just asking them, what do they want? Like, what kind of improvements that they need to make AYB more attractive to be grown and consumed? And there are two major, I guess, requests, which are having bigger tubers and also reduced cooking time for the beans. And talking to more of the scientists, the plant biologists in IITA in Nigeria, we also know that there's inconsistent tuber formation. So what they found is that it is definitely the tuber formation is regulated by the environment, but they're not sure what kind of trigger that actually regulates this. It could be the temperature or the rain, but they're just not sure. But they're pretty sure that it is the environment that dictates it. Another one is that the tuber deteriorates very quickly. So for some reason, the tuber of AYB, it needs to be consumed within a day or two, and then it'll shrunk. So it cannot be stored for a very long time. Even more challenges from the biology side is that when I started this project, that there were barely any studies on tuber development legumes. I found like probably like two papers describing tuber development in Apios americana, the one that is in from North America, but that was done like in 1970s, and nothing is known about AYB tuber development. And when I started this project, there was no published AYB genome that could inform us for breeding purposes. However, for this particular project, what we found is that through sectioning of the tuber and parts of the root, is that AYB is likely to have a stem hypocaudal tuber. So this is quite different to the common tuber crops that we have, which are potato and cassava. So potato, the tuber is actually a stem-derived tuber. And we know that because the eyes of the tuber can form a whole plant. Whereas cassava, the tuber is actually derived from the root. So the origin of this tuber is different. Whereas AYB, the stem hypocaudal tuber, is more related to radish. rather than to potato and cassava. So that was something new and we did not expect that. Also, another feature of the tuber is that the eyes of the tuber, if AYB, can actually form other mini tubers. So you can actually branch and form more tubers. So this is also something new that we don't see this in common tuber crops. Another result is that we found, we tested four lines from IATA in the field, and we found one of the lines have increased nitrogen fixing nodules, and this increased the tuber productivity. And a couple of months ago, I was approached by a team in Beka Ilri from in Kenya, and they just finished in sequencing the AYB genome, and we'll be collaborating in working together to sort of understand the tuber development from our side and how that would also inform subsequent breeding programs. So for the future work, this is just the very beginning, I guess, of the project. And what from my side is that I would like to have a more detailed study of the tuber alongside the beans and the nodule formation, especially on the source-seq relationship. So just to understand if there's nutrient around, how do the plants actually shuttle the nutrient like to the beans or to the tuber, and can we decouple that? So in the end, what we want is high productivity for the beans and also the tuber if possible. So these are just the plants that I'm growing right now in the basement of Sainsbury Lab. So these are the lines that that was characterized in Nigeria that can form high number of nodules and also high number of tubers. So we are also thinking of how to actually have a more informed breeding programs. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to hold a stakeholder meeting to identify like the challenges along the food supply chain and how to actually move forward with this project. So the bigger picture, and this is like something from my colleague, Morified from IATA. It's not just the scientific part. It is a very, this project is very interdisciplinary. It's not just me. I also have my colleague from IFAM, Curie, who is responsible for the capacity building part. And just like for the bigger picture, it's not just, having the best seed, the best plant of AYB, but we do need to have the markets for AYB and also how to process AYB for consumption too. So it's a multidisciplinary project and multidisciplinary effort, I would say. I'd like to thank, these are all my colleagues from University of Ibadan and IETA, and also my colleague Curie, from IFM, and this project is funded by the Cambridge Africa Algorida Fund and also GCRF Palm Priming Fund. Thank you.